But that doesn't mean we shouldn't, Poles shouldn't remain interested in their history, because in a way you need to know the history better, don't you, to do battle with that? Or is the answer just to forget about history and just think of the future?
No, it isn't, because if you don't think about the history, people will continue to tell each other or to teach, even in schools, versions of history which are obviously quite untrue and self-congratulatory. In Scotland, for example, there's been a very interesting development in the last 10 or 20 years, which is an attempt to say Scotland wasn't always the victim. It was the perpetrator. It was the perpetrator. Take the British Empire, you know. Scots have always said, oh, well, the English who did all these terrible things, you know, slavery, you know, that's basically English plantation owners and slave ships from Bristol and Liverpool. And now it has become perfectly clear how enormous the participation of Scots in the slave, with the slave-owning plantations, the working of slaves, and to a lot of extent financing, actually, the slave ships, the awful Middle Passage, and also the atrocities which were committed by Scottish settlers in continents like Australia or Canada sometimes. And so in the last 20 years, there has been a campaign, quite successful now, to make people realise that Scotland is not a victim. You know, it is a free actor which chose to do some terrible things, but nonetheless it could also choose to do good things. It is not a victim of history, and it's not a victim of any other country. It is responsible for its own actions in history. So you face up to the bad thing that you did and take responsibility. That is a European process. Part of being European is to be able to face up to the crimes which your own nation committed. And Poland, with some difficulty, has to do that. Has begun to do it.
It was on the way.
I really think so. Yeah. Yes, I mean, you could see all that. You could see, you know, the discussion about Jan Wagner, discussion about what happened in Vol and so on, which were obviously very much two sides. But all that was good. It was the beginning of trying to confront the fact that we are a grown-up people and we could look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't have to see a hero or a victim. We can also see somebody who, I quite like my reflection, but I have to admit there's some dirty scars.
Because it's not black and white. No.
Not black and white.
You know, it's interesting, they seem to be so flexible and free, and they can be here, go back, you know, the drop of a hat, get on a cheap flight. Whereas once upon a time, you know, home and fatherland were much more sort of solid, weren't they?
And that's right.
And that's a theme in your book as well. And
yes, it is. Yeah. It is. It's very much one of the two or three main themes which run through it. Is, you know, what does home mean? How do you define it? How do you observe it? How do you honour it? And can you change it? I was very interested in the way in which in Poland often the idea of home and the word ojczyzna, it's not easily translatable. I think Joseph Conrad wrote something about this and said, they said, well, where is your home? Which he said, England. He said, but, I mean, your Polish or real home. He said, well, it's not the same. It's different. It's a kind of something which is with you all your life. But it's not exactly a place necessarily, a landscape. It can be an obligation, a sense of loyalty or a duty of a kind, which you can't really get rid of. It stays with you, even if your home may be in some quite different country, you know. This is why people say rather easily, you know, Poland is where Poles are, which is, you know, that's an oversimplification, of course.
Or, of course, the Wyspiański quote, which you also have one of your characters saying, that it's in your heart, you carry it with you.
That's right. That's another way of putting it up.